If you're new today, I want to welcome you. I'm Pastor Bert, and before I went away, we started looking at a certain chapter in the Bible from a letter that was written to the early Hebrews church, and I know while I was away, we had some great folks taking care of things. I especially want to thank Pastor Cole for not burning the place down while I was gone. Or maybe I shouldn't be thanking him for that. But anyways, thanks for keeping things together and taking care of things. We so appreciate you and who you are to this great family. You know, the whole thing that we've been talking about with this whole, the start of this new series, it's really about focusing on encouraging the church, encouraging each of us to not give up. Not give up. Because that was exactly the message that the early church, that early Hebrew church, needed to hear, because they were experiencing some very difficult times. And the great thing for us is that the principles that applied to them still apply to us today. When we're going through difficulties, when we're going through hard times, when stuff is just hard, because the truths of God never change. For folks, whether 2,000 years ago or today, life can be hard at times, right? At times it can be really difficult. The situations, the circumstances that we find ourselves in can feel quite overwhelming. But the writer to the Hebrews tells us that there's actually a crowd of witnesses that have gone before us, those who have lived and died while holding on to their faith in the one true God. And we can learn from them that we too can make it through this life if we learn to keep our faith in God and our eyes on Jesus. During this series, we'll be diving deep into the first three verses of Hebrews chapter 12. Let me just read it for you. Here, you can follow along in your Bibles, on your Bible app, or just up on the screen if it takes too long to try to find that in your phone. Anyways, reading from the New Living Translation of the Bible, it says, "Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he's seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people. Then you won't become weary and give up." Folks, it's so easy to lose heart, isn't it? It's easy to grow weary. Some things just have a way of weighing us down, don't they? Some things bring us down. But when this happens, we want to listen to what those faithful followers before us are saying to us for encouragement. Our text starts with the word, "therefore." Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith. In my preaching class I took 8,900 years ago, it seems now today, he said, whenever there's a therefore, you need to find out why it's there for. Right? Well, that therefore points to the previous chapter. This is our first verse, the first verse of chapter 12. And remember, the Bible wasn't set up in verses or in these chapters and verses. That's just for us to be able to find our place when we're trying to find something, right? So, as I said in my last lesson, the word therefore points us back to that previous chapter, which is often called the Faith Hall of Fame. In this Hall of Fame, we hear one story after another of people who lived for God and ran their race of faith in this life for him. They were faithful when life was hard. and who kept their faith in God despite whatever struggles they're going through. And there were some pretty intense ones if you read through it. So therefore, is directing us back to those people, right, who ran their race faithfully. From the examples in this huge crowd of witnesses, we learn to take courage and perseverance. Today we're going to look at a few of those witnesses that are mentioned in Hebrews 11. And through their stories of struggle and persistence, you'll hear them saying, you can do it too. You can do it. I know the road can be hard. The path is not always easy. You may get tired. You may get worn out. You may lose patience. You may get frustrated. Just keep going. God has called you for a specific purpose. Stick with it. Don't give up. But before we start looking at some of those witnesses, I want to take some time to first dissect that first sentence a little bit, just for us, for some context. Again, verse 1 says, therefore, since we're surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith. Now, the word crowd that's used here in this Bible translation, in the Greek language, it's literally actually referring to a cloud. And some Bible translations, if you have yours out, it may say a cloud of witnesses, right? Why does that say that? Because there are two distinct Greek words for cloud. One word signifies a distinctly shaped cloud floating in the sky, right? The little puffball that goes by that we see and try to figure out what it looks like, right? But there's another word that's used for cloud. And it's a word, the same word that's being used here in this text. The word used in this verse means an all-encompassing cloud. Like on those days when there's no blue sky anywhere, the entire sky is completely covered in clouds. You can think of it like a big fog that covers and surrounds everything, right? No matter where you are, that cloud is covering you. It's all around you. So we think of this cloud as completely encompassing, because that's what the writer's trying to get across here. We're surrounded by it. In biblical times, a cloud was often used as a metaphor to describe a large group of people, a multitude of people. Like when you go to a place like Disney World, like we went to, it was like that. Or if you go to an Oilers game and you're sitting there, you're surrounded by this, by the atmosphere and the energy and everything that's happening in this cloud or crowd of people, right? People are all around you. You're a part of what's happening there. That's the image that we want in our minds, that the writer's trying to get across when we think of this verse. The Hebrew writer, says to us, look, when you're growing weary, when you're getting tired, remember there's a cloud surrounding you. You can't see it, but it's all around you. These witnesses are watching. They're seeing you, what you're going through. They're there with you on your journey. Now, let's talk about the word witnesses for a moment, because that's what he said they are, right? That word, translated as witness, is simply defined someone who sees something, right? That's a witness, someone who sees something. It's like an eyewitness. We understand what that means, right? That's the idea, again, that the Hebrew writer is trying to get across to us, that we are surrounded by these heroes of the faith who are now watching us run our race. They see us. They're all around us, cheering us on from heaven as we run our race. That's the picture that's being painted here in Hebrews 12. Now imagine millions, millions of eyes watching you and me all the time right now by people who've already run this race. Some of those people were even killed for their faith. Some have sacrificed everything they had to fulfill what God had planned for them. They are watching you. Think of this. They're watching you from the grandstand, so to speak, and they're cheering you on. They're cheering you on right now. That, to me, is a powerful image. May feel intimidated, kind of scary. What? All these people are watching me? But it's also inspiring. These are your cheerleaders encouraging you to keep going. Don't give up. When you feel yourself feeling like you want to throw in the towel, whatever the situation or circumstance, you need to take a minute and remember the witnesses who set the example for us through their faithful witness to God. These witnesses are not aloof or uninterested in what's going on in your life. On the contrary, like I said, they're your cheering section. They are cheering for you. They're motivating you. They're encouraging you through their lives and throughout our lives. Today we're going to look at, as I said, some of these witnesses that are mentioned here that are actually cheering us on. The first one that's mentioned is Abel, the witness of Abel. So the Hebrew writer, he begins this whole list of heroes of the faith by speaking of someone named Abel, who, if you've read the account, is actually this world's first murder victim. Great place to be, right? Here's what it says about him. By faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offering. And by faith, Abel still speaks, even though he's dead. Now, the end of this verse states something that to us seems impossible, right? Even maybe a little bit odd. Abel still speaks, even though he's dead. What? This means that even though he's in heaven, Abel continues to speak. He continues to have something to tell us today about the promises of our faithful God. And so the question then is, what is he telling you? What is he speaking to you? What is Abel and the rest of these witnesses, what are they speaking to you? What are they saying to you in whatever circumstance you're going through? Specifically, about your journey of faith. I challenge you to read through Hebrews 11 this week with this question in mind. What is Abel saying to me here? What are Abraham and Sarah saying to me in this passage? What about Moses or any of the others that are mentioned in this chapter? What are they speaking to me in this chapter? Perhaps these heroes of the faith, these faithful followers, found in the Faith Hall of Fame, are recapped by the writer of Hebrews for one purpose. They're recounted one by one to give us courage. To give us courage. They're mentioned to provide the encouragement that we might need at any particular time as we run our race in this life. Do you know what the word encouragement means? It literally means to fill with courage, to fill somebody up with courage, to fill them with strength. Encouragement isn't about making someone feel better. It's speaking words that help you to make the hard choices, that help you to stand firm, to keep your ground, stand your ground when you need to keep the faith when it's hard. We examined the story of Abraham last time I spoke. Now we read about Abel. But there's another hero that I think you're maybe a bit more familiar with, and that is the witness of Noah. The witness of Noah. In verse 7 it says, by faith Noah respected God's warning regarding the flood, the likes of which no one had ever seen, and built an ark that saved his family. Has anybody ever built a boat? No? Okay. Oh, yeah. That's a pretty daunting task. I've got a friend who built a canoe. It took him over a year and a half to build this canoe. I'm thinking, that's a canoe, right? It's a pretty daunting task. Do you realize, I'm not sure if you know exactly, if you're a trivia buff, how long it took Noah to build the ark? 120 years, yeah. That's a lifelong building project, isn't it? And longer than most of our lives. I don't know if you've done any big projects before, like a house or a barn or maybe even a really long fence. I don't know. Maybe you finished off your basement, remodeled your kitchen. Those can take weeks, even months, right? But 120 years? I think that would likely get the best of me. I feel as though there would definitely be a few arguments in my marriage whether I was actually hearing from God or not. If you were in the middle of a 120-year building project, wow, that's a long time to work on anything. Not to mention that they were building a boat. This was just for a boat, right? For a flood in a desert. And they'd never even heard of rain or seen it before in their lives, because the Bible tells us that it says that the earth was actually watered by a mist that came up from the ground up until this point, until the rains fell. I'm sure that poor old Noah got some interesting looks and probably even more non-flattering comments. I bet you there were times that he got discouraged. Working on the ark for all that time, but yet he keeps doing what God has told him to do, despite the mocking voices all around him, I'm sure. The author of Hebrews tells us, or says, that Noah is one of those witnesses. He's one of those witnesses cheering you on. I know you're tired. I get it. I know other people don't get what you're doing, or don't understand why you're doing it, why you continue to work on this project that seems so ridiculous. I know the progress is slower than you thought it would be. Trust me, I know that one. And you don't really understand how it's all going to come together. Well, welcome to the club. But listen. Listen, the rain did come. It came for me, and it'll come for you. One day, everyone will see that your labor was not in vain. Your work was not worthless. You know, a lot of stories in the Bible emphasize this fact. God's never late. It may seem like it's taking a long time sometimes, but he is never late. His timing is perfect. You can trust him to do what he's promised at exactly the right time. Even when it starts to feel like maybe he's forgotten you. Sometimes you may feel let down. What's it taking so long? God, are you even a part of this? You may start to get angry with God even, for how things aren't working out how you want it to. But you just need to keep being obedient to what he told you to do. Keep believing that in the end, he is not going to let you down. He's not. He can't do it. God says, but people say, God can do anything. How come, you know, can he sin? No, because it's against his nature. Can he let you down? No. It's against his nature. He cannot let us down. But I realize that's a whole lot easier said than done, folks. Why? Because we want him to operate on our schedule, don't we? But God doesn't check your calendar to see what he needs to do today. He's got his own plan, his purpose, and his timing for each and everything. You know, I remember when I first bought my first home. Due to some unforeseen circumstances, we ended up having to move out of town just a few months after we bought it. And so we tried to sell it for 6 months. Nothing. Nobody. Yet, nada. And so fortunately, we were able to rent it out. And so once that renter left, we thought, okay, well, not, maybe now it's time to sell it. So we tried again for another 3 months. Nothing. Found another renter for another few years. After them, tried to sell it again. Again, nothing. Another renter. Eventually, 6 years later, it finally sold. And it sold for more than we bought it for. So we were able to buy the house we were renting at that time. But then shortly after that, God called us to move again, go to another church. And we ended up, even though we'd only owned that house for a couple of years, we sold it for double what we bought it for. You see, we don't know why things happen the way they do, why sometimes things take so long. But God has a better plan. If we'll just trust Him with our lives. He wants what's best for us. We don't always know what that is, do we? We think we do. But He knows what's best for us, and His plan and timing are always perfect. The next witness that's mentioned in our text is Joseph. The witness of Joseph. Now, this isn't Mary's husband, okay, but the guy with the technicolor dream coat, okay? Joseph had an infamous dream about becoming a ruler, even over his own family. He knew the dream was from God and thought that he knew what his life was going to be like. He was going to be a ruler. But then everything falls apart. And for the most part, it's not even really any of his fault. Stuff just happens, circumstances, situations, and he ends up, and more often than not, the victim in this case. His brothers were jealous of him, which causes them to hate him and sell him as a slave. He later gets thrown into prison for a crime he didn't commit. And yet when you study his life, you see that he remained faithful to God. He kept his faith in God through all of that. He didn't feel sorry for himself, at least not that we can read, though he easily could have. And one of the things that will help or will happen to you as you look back at these witnesses, you read about them, you see how they lived their lives, is that will give you some perspective, a new perspective on your problems. See, sometimes we feel like we're the only ones going through stuff, don't we? Nobody's gone through this ever. Or only I can feel this way. You don't understand what I'm feeling or what I'm going through. But you are not the first person to deal with what you're going through or to feel the way you're feeling. We may live centuries in the future from these witnesses, but many of our human struggles remain the same. Life's still life. It has its series of ups and downs, right? When you feel betrayed by those, even those the closest to you, like Joseph was, unjustly accused, remember he went through those same things. He's experienced that in spades, with all the emotions that can accompany that, those situations. Yet he continued to trust in the Lord, it says. And if you're interested, you can read about how he eventually did become the prime minister of Egypt, second only to Pharaoh himself. The next witness, that's Joseph. We've got some pretty high and lofty names so far, haven't we, when you read through the Bible. But the next witness really seems like quite an unlikely hero, a prostitute by the name of Rahab. Now, a prostitute is not someone you would expect to be featured in a faith hall of fame, what is it? But God honors everyone who puts their faith in Him, no matter their past, The author here tells us, by faith, because she believed in God and his power, Rahab the harlot did not die with all the others in her city when they refused to obey God, for she gave a friendly welcome to the spies. Those were the Hebrew spies sent in to Jericho. I think Rahab was a woman who understood what it's like to be weighed down by her past, to be constantly reminded of the mistakes she'd made, the person she used to be. And if you're struggling to think that God could ever want you or use you because of your past, or maybe what others might think of you or have said about you, I think Rahab, would tell you, you're not who they say you are anymore. God sees you for who he can make you to be. Start living like how he sees you, which is as a child of the King of Heaven. God has given you a new purpose. He's given you a new name, a new life. So don't give up on it. Another seemingly unlikely witness is introduced in the book of Judges to us, and it's Gideon. And there's several other of these judges who ruled over Israel for a while. But in the ancient biblical book of Judges, we find Gideon. This guy, right off the bat, we know this guy is scared. He's a fearful individual. He's hiding in a well from the enemies, the Midianites. But an angel appears to him and tells him this: Gideon, God's people are hiding in caves, and God wants you to save his people from the oppressive Midianites. But Gideon sure didn't feel up to the task. Remember, he's hiding out in a well. Listen to how he replies to this angel. He says, how can I rescue Israel? My clan is the weakest in the tribe of Manasseh, and I'm the least important member of my family. This guy had an inferiority complex, right? Gideon felt like a nobody, with no confidence in his ability to accomplish anything. Yet at this point, God doesn't say to Gideon, no, Gideon, you can do it. Just pull up your boots. He doesn't say, you've just got to believe in yourself. Dig down deep. This is your eye of the tiger moment, Gideon. Rise up to the challenge. He doesn't say that, does he? In fact, God simply tells him, you're right. You can't do it. That's why I'll be with you. I'll be with you. It sounds harsh. But God says, you're right, Gideon. You cannot accomplish this on your own. Only through my strength can you do anything. It's not your confidence. It's not your competence. It's me. Sometimes we can get this mixed up, can't we? But it's only through God's strength that we can find the strength to never give up. These are just a few of the many heroes listed in the Faith Hall of Fame. They're part of that huge crowd or cloud of witnesses. And they are mentioned by the Hebrews writer to speak courage into our lives, to fill us with courage. He says that they're who you should be listening to when things seem impossible. And they're telling you today, keep going. Don't give up. Keep fighting. Keep one foot in front of the other. Don't stop. And if you do, take up my challenge to read through Hebrews 11, the Faith Hall of Fame. You'll notice something interesting. Each and every person is introduced in the exact same way. even though all their struggles, their situations are entirely different, but everyone's introduced in the exact same way, by faith. By faith, Abel. By faith, Noah. By faith, Rahab. By faith, Joseph. By faith, Gideon. I was going to say by faith, Peter. By faith, Daryl. By faith, Barb. By faith. We're part of that story, folks. They had faith in God. They trusted him no matter what happened in their lives. And it's where every one of us need to start as well. If we're to persevere through the hard parts of life and never get up, give up. And trust me, folks, things are going to get harder. Bible tells us they are. For when we put our faith in God, it says there will be a great reward waiting for each and every one of us. A real and vibrant relationship with the God who created us and loves us for now and forever. Most famous statement in the Bible is made by Jesus. He said, God loved the people of this world so much that he gave his only son, so that everyone who has faith in him will have eternal life and never really die. That's his promise. And as the God of truth, he cannot lie. That's why there's such a huge crowd of witnesses cheering us on, because even though their bodies are dead and gone, their spirits live on forever with God. This is the gracious gift that God offers to everyone who believes in him and follows Jesus. And if you'd like to do this today, if you've never done it, I want to help you do that if you want to do that today by leading you in short prayer to God. And you can just follow along silently with me and God will hear you, because he loves you. He already knows that you want to take this step. He knows what's in your heart. So if we could all just close our eyes, bow our heads. You know, if this is you today, you've never done this, but you're like, I need to do this. I want to take that step. I want to put my faith in Jesus. I need his help in this life, and I want to be a part of his life forever. If that's you, then if you can just quickly raise your hand so I know who I'm praying with, and then we'll just pray together. Thank you. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you. Thank you that you love me so much that you sent Jesus to restore my relationship with you. Today, I accept your invitation of a new life and the hope of eternal life with you. Thank you, Jesus, for showing me God's love by coming and dying for me. I really don't understand it all yet, but I believe that you did die and rose again, showing that as God, you have power over life and death. And that same power is able to save me and help me to live for you forever. Thank you for your promise of help when life goes bad. May I learn from those who have lived before, showing me that I can trust you no matter what happens in my life. For your plan and purpose for me is good. And you'll make it all work out in your perfect timing. Please help me to live my best life ever by living your way and sharing the hope I found in you today. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to call the rest of the band back. They're going to lead us in one more song, reflection. And if you did pray that prayer for the first time, if you could just fill in one of the connect cards that's in the seat in front of you, or link to the video online if you took that step today. So we'd love to hear from you and connect with you and provide whatever we can to help you as you start this journey with with Jesus. With that, I'm going to turn it back to the band. And thanks for coming again, everybody. Hope to see you next week. And